Rewinding Kaya FM on FM Rewind. Visit kayafm.co.za for more. Kaya Biz. With Kokoletso Mfuphi
on Kaya FM 95.9.
Mutenengbo will be envious of the conversation I'm about to have right now, because I'm speaking to peers and leaders within the law fraternity. But this time around, two young dynamic entrepreneurs who've decided to let go of climbing the corporate ladder and rather establishing their own organization and shifting the needle when it comes to harsh conversations that we need to have on elements like corporate governance, which, as we know, as we reflect on the Old Mutual story that we touched on earlier in the show, and of course the likes of Steinhoff and many more companies that have been in the headlines, remains a critical issue for us to address in corporate South Africa. So I'm excited to be speaking to two of these ladies who join us now in studio, Dr. Tsepiso Scott as well as Deborah Mutemwa Tumbo, both of whom are the co-founders of Tumbo Scott Attorneys. Great to see you ladies, and welcome to Kaya Biz.
Yes,
okay, let's do that one more time with the microphones on. There we go.
Evening, and thank you for having us.
Fantastic. I think it's quite important and exciting that we have these themes and conversations, because essentially you're two dynamic young females who have studied and worked very hard to be where you are, could have climbed the corporate ladder, but decided, guess what? Deborah, let's try to start a company. Where did this all essentially start in order to see you both reach your goal of entrepreneurship?
Sure. So Deborah and I actually met while we were clerking at the Constitutional Court of South Africa. Prior to that, we'd worked, like you're saying, in corporate entities and gained a lot of experience in the commercial space. But when we were at the Constitutional Court, we actually came to the realization that there's a real gap in the market for the servicing of small to medium-sized enterprises by high-quality legal service providers. Mm. And we thought that we, because of the experience that we had, the exposure to very highly prominent matters that are at the Constitutional Court and those that we've dealt with in corporate South Africa, it would be necessary to make that skill accessible to smaller businesses. Mm. So at Dikgang Moseneke's book launch, we...
I love the way you name drop. Yeah.
It really was. So it was because we were clerks there at the time. So sure. at his book launch, he was launching
My Own Liberator.
Yeah.
Biography.
Yes. And one of the things that Deborah always highlights that stood out from that book launch was that he said that you can't outsource the duty to liberate yourself. So that definitely was a push factor for us, that we have an actual obligation to liberate ourselves within the corporate space as young black people, but also to make sure that the skills and the services, or the skills that we've acquired, are then made accessible to other small businesses.
Mm-hmm. I love that you refer to that, because then it takes us to your why, that there's a deeper reasoning behind this than the fancy salaries that you could earn, or the great mm-hmm. titles as well that you could also be embellished with. But as we know, starting an entity in South Africa is not easy, regardless of what kind of role and function it actually is. What have been some of the typical or actually nuanced challenges? Because we all know what it takes to start a bakery and even mm-hmm. a car wash, but a law firm? What does it entail?
Well, when we did our articles, we did have the benefit of working at very, well-resourced and, sophisticated environments. We stepped out of that environment and had to start from scratch. So that was really interesting. Mm. We had to, we were CEOs and chief dishwashers. We were doing everything. So that was incredibly interesting, but it also made us more dynamic, I think. Being a business person is very much different from being a legal professional, regardless of how astute you are or how well you know the law. Business is a completely different ball game, and one thing we had to get up to speed on very quickly is the finances or the financial aspects of a business, because that's something that a lot of small businesses ignore, and that to their detriment eventually down the line. And so we've had to get a lot of skills.
And even from a fee and charging point of view, because you might be servicing Kukuletu Incorporated, but when I come back to you and say, Deborah Tsepiso, please do me a favor, I'm struggling this month, knowing the accolades as well as the amount of work and effort that you put into your work, that also changes the dynamics when it comes to engaging with entrepreneurs and SMEs slightly.
Definitely. So when we initially started, obviously it is with that intention to make legal services accessible to SMMEs. So the route the direction into which we have moved is towards making services accessible to smaller businesses through things like legal workshops, mm-hmm. because smaller businesses can't always afford the hourly rate mm-hmm. of a highly skilled attorney, even if you're going to make one of your junior attorneys available to them. So what we do we try to make it on a quarterly basis or so, or around significant events like Mandela Day, make our services accessible to small businesses so that they can then pose any questions that they have and have that benefit of having an attorney advise them on how to actually operate their business from a legal perspective.
Afropolitans, if you've just joined us, you are listening to Kaya FM and Kaya Biz specifically. We are speaking to the co-founders and the leaders of Tumbo Scott Attorneys, providing corporate and commercial law as well as legal advisory services to small and medium enterprises in South Africa. I'm speaking to Dr. Tsepiso Scott. Yes, she's that well educated in legal issues, and Deborah Mutemwa Tumbo, also just as highly regarded with regard to the academic qualifications. And these are young individuals who know what they're discussing. I find it so critical that you mention that you try to deliver your services through workshops and, of course, facilitated conversations where not only are the entrepreneurs engaging with yourselves as legal professionals, but also with peers who might have encountered similar problems. Mm-hmm. And we all know compliance, paperwork becomes a headache for any entrepreneur, never mind trying to deal with the larger corporate governance issues that we see larger entities, JSE-listed companies, actually grappling with. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts with regard to the environment in South Africa right now on corporate governance and where we actually fall short, and most importantly, how do we fix that by ingraining the right skills within SMMEs to ensure that once they flourish, they've already got the grassroots level established?
Yeah, so it's an area that is very much ignored, particularly in the SMME space, and a lot of small businesses don't necessarily understand the importance of corporate governance or having corporate structures, various documents in place. Often when we engage with entrepreneurs that want to put those structures in place, they're running to us because an investor wants to come through, mm-hmm. and they have to have, you know, their founding documents in place, their MOI, their shareholders agreement, understand what their minority protections are, what the majority rights are within that kind of setting. We encourage small businesses to think about this from the word go. We've seen it work for a lot of our clients, but we've also seen it work for ourselves. We have always adhered to good corporate governance principles. And so we can say that we are a test case or a success story, that when you ingrain corporate governance into your culture, yes. Things are much easier. And it's true that this is a gap in the market, or there's a misunderstanding of how important corporate governance is, even especially in South Africa. So if you look at the biggest economy in the world, the USA, corporate governance is legislated. A lot of the corporate governance principles are actually legal obligations, whereas in South Africa, it's still very much a voluntary document. Mm. But you see that there's a shift in the market, because even the JSE, the JSE listings requirements changed, yes. that when King IV came out, a lot of corporate entities had to adhere to various principles within King IV. And that's precisely because, you know, the JSE recognizes that corporate governance is pivotal and important to long-term success and sustainable growth for any business.
I love that you mention that, because it also brings about the argument that we've often seen playing out within the South African business environment, that it's a personality issue, that people are flouting the rules because they have the power, they have the opportunity, and as such, they look not to adhere to it. Can we change that? Can we fix that by legislating corporate governance?
I think you can, because if there's a fear of some sort of legal recourse being taken against you should you fail to adhere to certain principles, that will be one deterring factor. But another factor is that, you know, if we look at the King IV document on its own, it has a lot of emphasis on ethical leadership,
yeah.
Nominations committees, thinking more clearly about the kinds of people that you want to be bringing into at board level, also letting that trickle down into, you know, the kinds of people that you want to see within your organization as a whole. And if those kinds of principles were really adhered to and focused on, I think we would see a shift within our corporate space right now. And it is something we are trying to engage in quite meaningfully through the governance partnership that we'll be entering into quite soon.
Yeah. Tell us about that governance partnership. I'm hoping big corporates might also attend, hint, hint, because they've got quite a bit bit to learn, and I understand there's a very well-esteemed guest who's recently been appointed as the chairperson of the PIC, Dr. Ro Khoza, who will also be participating.
Yes, so we have trained over 100 directors in the corporate governance space, and this ranges from small companies to listed entities. And with an organization called ULP House, we have partnered up to take those same lessons and make it accessible to young aspiring leaders, but also seasoned leaders. And so this partnership is quite incredible in that we will bring our theory and, you know, the kind of material that we share with corporates, and that will be met by experience, incredible experience. So Dr. Ro Khoza will be one of the guests that will be engaging with us throughout the program. But we also have Vuyo Gahla, who is head of legal at Sasol, and of course the chairperson of the ULP House is Maurice Khadebe himself, who is the executive president of energy at Sasol. So it's young blood meets experience, yes. And we hope to engage meaningfully with young aspiring leaders on these issues and these principles.
I'm so excited because this obviously literally thumps the commentary that we don't have talent in South Africa, that we don't have young, dynamic, innovative thinkers who are looking to address the challenges that we face. So I'm excited as I continue to look dreamingly into your eyes, mm-hmm. but of course being warned that I do need to wrap up because of time. Afropolitans, if you've been listening to us, we've been engaging with the co-founders of Tumbo Scott. They are a commercial law entity providing services to small and medium enterprises, Deborah Mutemwa Tumbo, as well as Dr. Tshepiso Scott, giving us some insight not only into their force of corporate governance in South Africa, but of course their entrepreneurial journey in law. Ladies, we wish you the best of success in the future and look forward to following up on your stories.
With Kokuletso Mfuphi
on Kaya FM 95.9.
Rewinding Kaya FM on FM Rewind. Visit kayafm.co.za for more.